Raja.
How you doing?
Not bad. Feeling good.
Me too. Another day, another recording.
A wonderful recording. I'm Angela the mom.
I'm Raja the daughter. And this is
Talking Brown Sugar.
Oh, shout out to us.
Where you can find us or contact us, Facebook and Instagram at Talking Brown Sugar, Twitter at Talking Brown Sugar, email talkingbrownsugar@gmail.com.
Yeah. Can I get to the yams? Sweet yams. Show me the way, cause I got bills to pay. Can I get to the yams? Sweet yams, show me the way, cause I got bills to pay. Y'all have heard the song that's by Masego and Devin. I did the Fetty Wap version. Do. And we're in the Sugar Bowl again today. And we're talking of random thoughts. What do you have for us, Mom?
Staying connected. I might be a little old school in this, and I hope, you know, this is my little twist on it. We don't stay connected. All this new technology we have. We got Messenger, Facebook, e-chats. Now you got the pictures and different ways. You don't feel the physical, like a letter, picking up the phone. Let's stay connected. We don't want to just always hear news through some other, you know, Facebook or Twitter, anything like that. That's how I feel. We done been so separated, we don't even contact each other like we used to. So that's just my little twist on that. Getting onto this thing is about watching out for these scams, people. It's getting worse. Mm-hmm. You got scam checks. You got scam threats. Like, oh, I heard this, and that, and the other coming in for your bills. Your light's going to get cut off, like for the old people. If you feel unsure about it, call your energy services or telecommunication services, whoever you have your phone with. Call your government, because they have the 1-800 number. They can put some blocks on some numbers, even though some things are legitimate, like your 1-800 numbers. You see them, but if you're not sure, let somebody else know. Like my daughter say, what'd you say you do to them when they call you?
Hang up. If it feels wrong, hang up. If it's important, they will call you back or leave a voicemail. And in the meantime, like you said, Mom, you can call someone to work as like a referee or the intermediate to help you communicate whatever it is you need to with that person if it's legitimate. Or to find out if it's not, like if somebody's telling you, you know, we said this check, you need to cash it and do this, this, and this. Take the check to your bank and ask them, you know, is this legitimate? Tell them what is going on. Like you said, you can call the police as well if you're being harassed. They can help you out and tell you the next steps to protect yourself.
And if it sounds too good to be true, trust your gut. It's a fake scam. And another thing I've got a problem with, y'all, Black Friday. What's up with Black Friday? Every holiday or something comes up, why do we have to use the word black? Can we change the color? Make me feel happy. Because I'm not going to go in no store feeling like I have to be catch this last sale or this is the best sale. Because it's a markup, markdown if they're trying to get rid of an item or for a new item. Because if you wait a little bit, it's going to be there for you if you need it.
You said you want to rebrand Black Friday?
Or I would like to.
So what other name would you give it?
I would call it Happy Friday. Happy Friday sales.
Happy Friday sales. Are they happy? We looked this up to understand the origin of Black Friday, and it says the early 17th century, as in school slang in the sense of Friday on which an examination is held. So a Black Friday could be a test day. And then the shopping sense as we know it today came from the 1960s when it was originally used to reference the congestion created by shoppers, and then later explained as a day when retailers' accounts went from being in the red, which was negative, to in the black, which, you know, is positive, meaning they have a net balance. So basically, they're getting you. They're getting you for your money.
Yes. Just be smart, people. Don't feel impulsive to do anything. Because it's like when you go to those shopping aisles, you be like, dang, I was going to get them chips, and they still right there waiting for you. Did you really need it? Think about it. Because to me, Black Friday made me want to get somebody a black eye when I done took myself, not nobody else forced me, to go spend my money, and I should have said, wait a minute. And you know, voting time is coming up again, the major vote.
In 2024. The primaries.
Primaries. We need to really sit down and examine these people who are trying to get in the seat and these new people trying to run for president. It's all count on us. It's your choice.
Think about what you need and what your neighbors need if you don't need anything. What do your people need? Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. Vote.
Get it, girl.
What?
You know that's from Rio,
oh, the movies. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see those with the bluebirds?
They were so pretty.
Did you know that they are not endangered anymore? They have come back. They're not endangered.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So they've been somewhere hunting and hiding?
Yes. They've been hunting and hiding.
So you know what that means. Get it.
Yeah, go vote.
And now for your random thought, Roger.
Yeah, I have two. My first one, I saw an advertisement for colorful guns marketed specifically to women. It was like, ladies, come get your piece. And it was a pink, teal, and kind of like a light purple gun. And I initially was like, oh, crap. Because I was like, dang, my first reaction was like, oh, those are cute. To a gun. I said that to a gun. And I was like, what? I know I play video games and have played violent video games. But I wouldn't consider myself a violent person, unprovoked or just in general. Like, of course, to, like, you know, in danger, you gotta do what you gotta do. But regularly, I don't really need a gun. But we have so many guns in this country, it just made me, like, zoom out for a moment to reflect, like, why are we needing so many guns? Or marketing guns in a way that make them look like an accessory. And it's just like, yeah, we have too many guns in this country, because it's that advertisement alone. And then all the comments were like, ooh, yes, I love this. I need to get me one. Oh, I need one in yellow. I need one in orange. And I'm just like, it's a gun. It's not a toy. And I think those kind of marketing things take away from the serious weight behind owning a gun. And just in society, how we treat guns is, you know, something you need to have. And that's separate from even how people who hunt use guns, but just having one for personal protection on your person in your house. I think those kind of marketing ploys are irresponsible, because it promotes this kind of like cute and sweet way to look at guns when it's not that, especially if it's a tool for protection. I don't think I would need a gun that looks cute with my outfit or looks like my personality or how I feel or my brand, my personal brand of, you know, how I dress. Because if you have something on your hip like that, you don't want to draw attention to it. A bright pink gun on my hip, and I'm already getting enough attention as a woman, especially if I'm a woman traveling or out by myself. No matter who I'm with at, you know, dating or what, married, whatever, I just didn't think that was like a serious safety promotion of the gun and how they were trying to sell them. And I understand like capitalism and how those things influence it, but it was just like, dang, we really are too far gone on some of these issues for them to be improved in my lifetime, which is a sad but just honest reality of where we are. This is something I talk about often. It's just like, you know, the more you know, the harder it is to be positive. So in light of all the things that are going on in the world, having this kind of perspective on things and then still trying to be present enough to even deal with whatever you are facing personally is just, I try to still, even with what I know, to do things that help me feel like I'm making the right choices by reminding myself of my duty and how I contribute to my community, and doing what I can within reason to help other people when I can. And that really is, like we say, it goes back to voting, knowing who is basically in charge of taking care of your community, your local government, and beyond, from that standpoint, but also being connected to the people around you. Like you said, Mama, your random thoughts, staying connected to your people, because we are at an all-time high of just disconnect coming off the pandemic, which is really still going on. It's going to be an endemic, essentially. But really staying connected and being reminded of the humanity of the people around us. And all that came from looking at Colorful Guns, and how we interpret violence in our country and what it means to, you know, care for your neighbor, care for your community, care for people and your loved ones, and how to do that while you also are going through your own things. So that was just a thought I had while looking at Colorful Guns. So take care of yourselves, take care of your loved ones, and do what you can within reason to help the world be a better place. Just be kind to each other, and really, when you can, stop and think about the bigger picture and not put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect. Just continue to do good and do better than you did the day before. And keep your head up. It's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Stay informed and take the time you need. And keep getting back at what it is you're working on, whatever you're doing. Keep at it. Keep up. And if nobody's told you today, I'm proud of you. And you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Keep putting positivity out there in the world. Keep shining your light. Even if that's just to, you know, the people in your household or just the people you see on a day-to-day. You smile, you might not get smiles back, but just keep, you know, doing good and looking out for each other. My other random thought, not so into the weeds of everything and my thoughts in my brain, but this is also something I was thinking about. Superhero outfits. I understand how rompers, bodysuits work, because I love a good bodysuit, I love a good romper. But I know if I'm going out, that can prevent or cause some kind of problems when it's time to go to the bathroom. Superheroes. I know they're superhuman, may not have the same anatomy, but there are some superheroes who are just regular people who can see good or walk well, run fast, super fast, and do all these other things. Are they not using the bathroom in those super suits? You know? How does this work? Is there a zipper that goes from the rooter to the tooter? Are we using the bathroom before we suit up and we just don't drink while we're fighting crime and villains? And do we just, like, what's going on here? I said, maybe I didn't watch enough MCU Marvel stuff or read enough comics to figure out. Or we just going to ignore that? We're just going to accept that's part of the, you know, canon that we don't even discuss. It's just obvious. But I would like to know, like, what are they doing? Are they really good at holding their bladder? Is that a special power? You know, bladder girl, Sean Pete. That's her weapon of choice. She just, whoop. You know, you're in the wrong place, wrong time, bad guy. Might get peed on. Whoop. Dun-dun-dun-dun. But yeah, that's all for me.
Well, you know, Superman went in the telephone booth. We don't know what he might have been doing.
Oh, in between the changes.
And then Batman, when he went to the cave.
That's who we need to ask. That's who we need to talk to. And Batman, because that's just a regular witch, right, man?
And that's Wonder Woman, she might have pulled hers to the side. We don't know what she did.
She was, yeah. And she was not of our planet either. So, doesn't like, is it a specialized bladder? They're all superpowers.
You know what? This is where that daggone Depends came from. They don't want to tell us.
And not the Depends.
And those new underwear that you can do all kinds of wonderful stuff in it and just wash them in your wash machine. Nasty.
Oh, so we're saying that super diapers?
Yeah.
Super smoothing, slimming diapers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you
call them ho-hos.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm good.
Stay safe, stay dry.
That's hilarious. That's the commercial.
That was good.
On to the next segment.
Sugar cubes, aka the news, where we put a little sugar in your cup.
Yes, our first story up is that Americans carry collective stress from COVID. And this article talks about the collective trauma from the COVID pandemic, a survey suggests. This came out from a study just recently posted the results in the early part of this month, November, from Mary Van Buskum, MS, On the topic of COVID-19, it says the COVID-19 pandemic caused Americans collective trauma, which predisposes to mental health and chronic illnesses, according to a new online survey from the American Psychological Association, or APA. The Harris Poll surveyed 3,000 U.S. adults nationwide for stress in America in 2023. The report was from August 4th to 26th. It says, while the early pandemic lockdowns may seem like a distant past, the aftermath remains. APA Chief Executive Officer Arthur Evans, Jr., PhD, we cannot ignore the fact that we have been significantly changed by the loss of more than 1 million Americans, as well as the shift in our workplaces, school systems, and culture at large. The biggest jumps were seen in the age group between 35 and 44-year-olds. Respondents in that age group reported the most significant jump in chronic conditions. When the pandemic began, it was 58%, and then that was up from 48% when they studied them in 2019. People also in that same age group reported the greatest increase of mental illness, most often citing money and the economy as contributing factors. Respondents in age group 18 to 34 had the highest rate of mental illness in 2023 at 50%. And although 66% of respondents said they were diagnosed as having chronic illness, 81% rated their physical health as good, very good, or excellent. Similarly, while 37% of adults said they had mental illness diagnosed, an increase of 5% points since 2019, 32% to 81% said their mental health was good, very good, or excellent. The most common diagnoses were for mental illness were anxiety disorder and depression. Women also were found to have reported higher average levels of stress than men and were more likely than men to rate their stress levels at 8 to 10. So a total of 67% of adults said they didn't think their problems were bad enough to cause stress because of others having bigger problems. And when asked why they didn't seek treatment, adults' top reasons were a belief in therapy is ineffective, 40%, a lack of time, 39%, and or insurance at 37%. 47% also said they wish they had help to manage their stress, and 62% said they don't talk about their stress because they don't want to burden others. A lot of people stress from the pandemic. The article pulls out a great point of us, you know, losing over 1 million people. That's what they counted. You know, we don't know how many people passed after that or have a diminished capacity of life, because think about how many people are now needing and requiring care holders, and that can take the place of the form of a family member. So people now have to carry their family members more, or their loved ones in general.
Man, stress people out in so many economical ways, and bringing families together when they didn't have to take care of people. Some people just done lost their way. It's just stressing them out because they never experienced a loss. Not necessarily like losing a loved one, they just lost so much of themselves. And they trying to figure out, like, really, what really happened? Is this a dream, a nightmare? And they say it's COVID. They be like, yeah, right. And it's still affecting people as we speak.
And another condition you brought up, while we were talking about this at another time, was COVID toes, rashes, and how the coronavirus can affect the skin. So looking out for those just different symptoms that can develop at any age. Is like watching for the swelling of the toes, as well as noticing, someone who tested positive for coronavirus can develop the swollen and discolored toes. They say compare any age, children, teenagers, young adults most likely develop the condition. For people who are typically healthy and never develop other symptoms with COVID-19, such as the dry cough, fever, or muscle aches, but they did have those mild symptoms. And so the treatment of COVID toes, they said to reduce pain of itching, apply hydrocortisone cream to the affected area. And it says if this fails to bring relief or the symptoms worsen, contact a board-certified dermatologist. They said it can go away without treatment. It's still too soon to know how long people have the condition, but it can last anywhere from 10 to 14 days. Asking about if it's contagious or not, this is whether you're contagious when you have COVID toes, is if you have any COVID-19 symptoms. So talk to your doctor to explain what's happening if you need chest.
Yeah, and ask one of your loved ones if something looks different to you, do they see a difference? Well, you know, just pay attention to your body. Because, you know, when you stress your immune system out, even thinking or stresses can just do anything to your immune system. And your body's going to react to it. Because it's going to make your pressure go up. It's going to change your blood levels. You know, it's going to change your mindset. And then you be smiling like everything's okay, but your body's reacting to what you're thinking and how you're really feeling.
Right. And some people also develop a rash. So saying, you may see patchy rashes, itchy bumps, blisters that look like chicken pox, round pinpoint spots on the skin, large patch with several small ones, a lace-like pattern on the skin, or flat spots from raised bumps that join together. Just talk to your doctor about what you're experiencing so you can get help. Talk to your doctor or your medical care provider for that assistance.
Yeah.
And going back to the main article, what we were talking about, all the stress and things that is caused by the pandemic that's still going on is to cope with like the long-term stress. And having a long-term stress is being a risk factor for mental illness. It can increase your sensitivity to daily hassles. So really getting into therapy and managing your stress. So that requires a different set of skills that you can practice and develop with therapy, but also removing things that are causing you stress. So if money is causing you a lot of stress, finding ways to manage your money, whether it be taking a financial class or getting more money, getting, you know, what ways you can get more money that don't cause more stress, like, you know, promotion or talking to your employer about your pay, especially if you're due for a promotion and Christmas bonus. Ongoing stress can accumulate, causing inflammation and wearing the immune system down. So thinking about different ways to, like I said, just remove those stressors for you both mentally so that you aren't worrying about things, talking about your problems, going to therapy. Check to see if your insurance covers that, but also check out what free options you have available to you.
Yeah, and find a way to relax yourself. And we're moving on.
Yes, the next article is about parents stealing their children's identities to access debt and destroying their kids' credit scores in the process. So yeah, we have a Yahoo Finance article. When Axibet Hamilton set up her first utility bill at college, she soon realized something was very wrong. It turned out that she had been a victim of identity theft, and it was destroying her credit rating. In 2001, she was a 19-year-old student when the utility provider demanded a $100 security deposit to turn on her service, citing her credit score. She thought it was because she didn't have enough credit, which is often the case for a lot of people just starting out, getting their first bill, but they were like, no, your credit score is low. When she did research to figure out why her credit score was so low, she learned that it was her parents that had about 10 pages long full of fraudulent credit card entries. And some of those entries dated back to 1993 when she was 11. Yeah, there was no way she was going to use the credit card at 11 years old. And so they're talking about, for most people, the idea of identity theft conjures up images of anonymous shady hackers, but for many victims, including Betts Hamilton, the perpetrator, well, I could get that word out, is much closer to home. In the case, it was her mom, specifically. Her mom basically committed child identity theft in the 1990s, which is still a crime today. In a landmark 2000 study by Carnegie Mellon Sci-Lab, the crime lab, or cyber lab, found that children are uniquely vulnerable to identity theft because you don't know that somebody is taking your identity, your social security card that they have access to, to set up a bill, a credit card, anything in your name without you having to give prior approval, which is wild to think about. Like, you can just do that. And so, you know, children's identities are being used to buy homes and cars, open credit card accounts, and secure employment. So that child, when they are of age and they graduate college, they do have 10 years of experience coming out the gate because somebody used their ID to get a job while they were a baby. That's wrong.
Shame.
the youngest victim they discovered in their analysts was just 5 months old. Wow. Like we said, the baby had 10 years of experience by the time they were, what, when you get your first job, 16? Yeah, I've been working. You look up the social security number, it's like, oh, wow. This kid is just on it. How you
get a house?
How you get a house at 16? At 16?
Did you inherit it? And you know, I've had conversations with people who have done it, and they act like it's okay. I was like, I would never do my kids like that.
Yeah, a lot of comedians have jokes about that. I'm like, mm-mm. Back in the day, we would hear that joke often by different comedians.
Put it in your kid's name.
They're not going to know. Don't they use the lights? That's so wrong.
It is wrong.
Meanwhile, in 2021, a study by the Javelin Strategy found that 1 in 50 U.S. children fall victim to identity theft every year, with 73% of victims being targeted by someone they know personally.
Shame.
Yes, in our next story, we have Keith Lee and the Chad Ochocinco conversation about the... So earlier this month, Keith Lee was in Atlanta doing his thing, you know, reviewing food. Keith Lee, I think, has started to reach celebrity status. Once you start, you know, attracted attention of celebrities and other influencers, he doesn't identify or claim that profession or label for himself, but everybody knows who he is, and that's why he has to review the way he does, even if he doesn't see that he is an influencer and getting to celebrity status. He had Ochocinco critiquing how his impact was for Atlanta businesses, but anybody who has followed the Keith Lee story knows that, you know, Keith Lee is coming in with really just, you know, positive vibes. He's really honest with his reviews and feedback, because he doesn't go into the restaurant himself. He has a family member or a cousin go in to place an order based on whatever the restaurant instructions provide. So sometimes they've tried to place an order through DoorDash. They've tried to go and reserve a table themselves without Keith Lee first, you know, to make sure that there isn't any bias, so that it's like the people's review. So like any average person can get a sense of what they're getting into when somebody has like messaged Keith Lee in his DMs, like, hey, come review our food. You know, we need some customers. We need to drum up some talk about our restaurant. We have good food. We have good this, good vibes, this, that, and third. And so he'll do that, but like a mystery shopper, and give an honest review. You know, Chad Ochocinco, a former football player, he felt like this was detrimental. Even though Keith Lee is like completely entitled to his reviews, he was, you know, questioning his background, like what gives him the right to do this, what kind of credentials does he have, and basically stating that it was detrimental to Black restaurants. That's the conversation he had with Shannon Sharp on an episode of the Night, you know, Caps with Unkin Ocho YouTube series they have. They were talking about it. So Keith Lee caught wind of that critique, and like he did in his respectable fashion, responded. And even before Keith Lee could respond, Ochocinco's daughter got on and was like, in this house, you know, we stand behind Keith Lee. You know, we stand Keith Lee. And so Keith Lee respectfully was like, I'm not out here trying to mess up anybody's restaurant, or he wasn't having any malicious intent. He, you know, told his followers, like, I'm not looking for anybody to go out here and try to cancel these people. I'm just giving my honest review. And that's what he did. And, you know, if you are prepared, you don't have to get ready. And that's just what it is. But after all of that, Ochocinco listened to Keith Lee break down how his impact and his visits and his reviews have helped businesses that were on the brink of closing, and just basically running down how he has helped restaurants and what he's been doing. Because clearly Ochocinco didn't have or do his due diligence to look up, like, the greater or bigger picture. And so Ochocinco essentially was humbled and essentially apologized after his daughter hit him up, and Keith Lee, well, he said, ate him right up, got him together, responded to him, even though it was respectful. What's your take on him?
Well, you know, you spend your good money, hard-earned money, on pleasing yourself to go out to eat. And sometimes when you see these names on anything, you're looking for a satisfying meal. And sometimes your palate will tell you something totally different. It's not all synced up to be. And sometimes you, now we do rely on reviews. Before, we used to rely on old school newspapers or word of mouth. Well, I think it's a good challenge for him to go out and do what he's doing. I applaud him. Because, you know, your mouth is not going to lie. You can dress it up any kind of way. You can go to a hole in the wall and get some great food. But if nobody don't tell you about it, people are like, I'm not going in there. But if you see this name or someone, a celeb, you're like, oh, we're going to try this out. They're using their famous family recipe. But everybody can't put it together like grandma. Because sometimes grandma didn't measure all the seasonings in that good fried chicken, them homemade biscuits. And you go there, and you're like, okay, I've been in business for 2 or 3 years. Sometimes you fall off a little bit, boo. Because we've been in some high-end restaurants, and it won't even all cracked up to be what it was. So I applaud him. You know, check your palate, check your plate, check your balances. It's good to have another set of eyes out there so we can be happy. Word of mouth is powerful.
It's true. And I think it's funny, his most viral videos, I guess, were catching wind because normally people are used to watching him eat the food and review it in real time. So he eats each item, main dish, side dish, whatever, and then he gives a rating 1 out of 10 and he comments on, like, it was too spicy. He doesn't like sweets. So you get to know him as a person and relate to all of that and then compare it to whatever you like. Also, when he was in Atlanta, some of what was new for a lot of people was him having to review with no food. So he just reviewed or talked about the service. So if you can't get good service and you couldn't get the food, there's nothing for you to view or review. So at that point, you really just have a critique and feedback. And I think I'm a person, I told you, I love constructive criticism. If it's something that I can build on or something you see that I don't see, go ahead and let me know. You know, as long as you delivering it without trying to shut me down or doing something negative, I don't see nothing wrong with the feedback. Especially if you're not being, you know, there's no, like, he's not going out his way to try to shut people down. He's really just giving feedback, like, what you could do better is blankety blank blank. He talked about marketing and all of that. And we were talking about how a lot of things have changed since COVID earlier. We've lost a lot of recipes due to inflation. I think about literally just like ingredients that are hard to get for restaurateurs or just access to us as a country due to inflation and whatever else is going on politically. You know, what we're able to bring in or export, all that kind of stuff, and what we're able to get access to. So things are going to change. So thinking about that palate, that's interesting. And also just how we relate to each other socially. You know, a lot of people, we have a tipping culture, but in other cultures, you don't tip because you pay people properly. You know, we have issues with paying people. So if I'm, you know, at a job, I'm not getting paid well, and I'm relying on tips. There's a lot of stuff going into that. And if I'm somebody who might not need to be going out because I can't tip, there's a lot of stuff going on with that that impacts how we interact with servers and people. Because you talked about how services changed too, because you were...
Yeah.
You were the first black hostess of Golden Corral on Fushi Street.
On Fushi Street. In Durham, North Carolina, yeah.
The first black hostess. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, yeah. Jeff Tuball, which was a young future manager, opening up this Golden Corral. And the Ralphs, who were on 15501, trained him. And he watched me, because I was going to be a cashier. Mm-hmm. You know, straight out of high school, getting ready to go to college, stuff like that. So, knowing me, I'm game for it. I put my face out there. And some of the girls who were of the colors,
they were white.
Not all of them.
Latino, Asian.
A little Asian, had a little Asianese in there. And I guess they thought, how could I be a hostess? He likes how I talked. He liked how I presented myself. Because I was always coming to work cute. In the uniform that you gave me to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought really anything about it. Went through the script, whatever, you know, how you present yourself, welcome when people come in. And it's funny how when people see you, they be like, something's going on? And they question the Ralphs. And this is in the 80s. They weren't ready for it. it was still a Southern thing. Because you got grandma and mama and papa. I didn't understand it my own self. So once I knew my title and what I was going to do, I was going to hold it down anyway. I got the job done. And then family started asking for me if I was off. So I knew I didn't need no certificate of saying it was a good job. But it's good to know you can break some barriers, you know. And he was from Tarboro, North Carolina.
Tarboro.
So he was feeling himself taking out a chance to put new faces in his restaurant, in his store. He wanted to change the twist. Because think about it. You can go all over the world. Once you're getting seated and getting the service done, it shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
who's serving you?
Yeah, we sure will come someday. But don't just hold back that day to be ignorant in your eyesight when somebody's just sitting you down.
And if you have a short patience for anything, for BS, for, don't set yourself up to be pissed off. You know, a lot of people, we lost a lot of people literally to COVID. And a lot of those people were service industry people. So these restaurants are strapped for physical, you know, workers, people from the service to the cooks to the hostess to whoever. They struggling too. Everybody is, you know, it's a little rough out here. Just if you do not have the patience to wait for your meal and tip how you need to tip, if that's the case, just stay home. Or go ahead, just take yours to go. Take it, call ahead, take it to go. You can reduce the interactions. Do some self-work, some meditate, have some therapy.
Therapy with their food.
Yeah, so you don't have to cuss nobody out because they brought your broccoli out too hard. Or, you know, it took longer time to refill your drink. And there's a lot, bunch of little stuff that can add up to you, you know, popping off. When it's like, you could have just cooked at home.
If you can cook.
They, you know, that recipes... Just follow the recipe.
Sometimes I don't want to cook, and I know if I take myself out to somebody's restaurant, I try to be on my best behavior. You know.
I try to be on my best behavior too, and I give, like you said, give some grace. So.
And everybody's not meant to do the job that they do, but they're doing it to get paid. And sometimes we don't know if the manager, the employees, or the short staff, why these people just short fuse. Because you can see it coming. When they, you ready to order? I'm like, I haven't got my seat warm yet.
And that's where you make your decision.
I'm like, I need to go on.
Cause don't sit and take attitude if you don't have to. Don't give it. Just, you know.
And you know me, I ask, how are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like that bank commercial. What is going on in your wallet?
Girl, that's what you need.
You know.
Speaking of recipes, Japanese restaurant is shocked because, well, shocks everybody because the sauce bottle has not been washed in 60 years. The famous Abe Chan Grill pork skewer restaurant in Tokyo caused controversy when it revealed that it often dips its meat in a jar sauce that has never been washed for 60 years. Abe Chan is a famous grilled pork skewer restaurant in Tokyo's Azabu Juban shopping district. During a recent appearance on a famous Japanese TV show, the restaurant revealed that the secret to its success is thanks to the large jar inside that contains a thick, dark sauce used to smear on grilled pork skewers to add delicious flavor. And if you all look it up, you will see the jar is huge. And you can't see the jar anymore because there looks like 60 years worth of sauce on the outside of it, sitting on top of the grill. With yummy, amazing flavor. I don't doubt that it's not tasty. I bet it's flavorful because that's 60 years of seasoning from the first, probably what, piece of ginger. Looking at the color, we got some chili going on, soy sauce. Looking at the color, the jar has taken on a new shape because of that. The sauce and has never been washed, not one time. I think if that's what y'all do in your house, cool. But all the restaurants in America, we've seen Bar Rescue, was it Hotel Hell,
mm-hmm.
All those different shows and different videos we've now seen behind kitchens. I don't know if we can complain. Some of your favorite restaurants got roaches.
They got the rats walking in playing in the cold, delicate intestine.
You cut the light on, the roaches say welcome. They don't scurry away.
They're playing Ratatouille.
They don't scurry away, right. Ratatouille without a tootie. Just rat.
And you know, if you've seen it, Rats are nasty.
What, you get a piece of rat tail.
It might not be as bad as it looks, because it's...
I just wonder, do they cover it up after each?
Because it's like the family's still living and thriving. And those pots back there look kind of new. And
I don't see them saying anything in this article about people getting sick.
Sick.
Because, you know, if you are getting ice from a restaurant...
Oh, my gosh. And ice can be really gross.
Because of the machines that are not cleaned regularly. And there's fungi and things. We probably have just become immune to some of the stuff. Yeah, I don't even want to know. But I thought it was funny to think that they haven't watched it in 60 years. And that's just how it is. Like, and there's so much stuff we wouldn't know. I don't remember seeing this much behind the kitchen of restaurants. Mm-mm. We get more access to that view. So it's just funny to see, like, yeah, we just been dipping in the same. 60
years. It's just like having that cast iron frying pan. All that thick grease and fried chicken. Mm-hmm. And once you learn how to cook... You'd be like, well, did anybody wash the frying pan? The frying pan is clean in the inside.
No, because that's all the
but
flavor.
But the sides have all this.
You got to season it. Yep, you're supposed to wash it. You season it after you wash it.
Yeah.
We all have different kinds of washing, don't we? Yeah. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to go into talking about a little bit of a franchise we know about. And that is the Planet of the Apes. Kingdom of Planet of the Apes trailer, the new post-apocalyptic chapter begins. So that's going back to Caesar. So, dang. Okay, this is a spoiler for me. So picking up several years after the events of 2017's War for the Planet of the Apes, the 20th Century Studios franchise is back with a trailer for its newest chapter, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, set to premiere May 24th, 2024. Ooh, a lot of twos and 20s. With Caesar dying at the end of the last film, the fourth entry in the modern Planet of the Apes saga was set several generations following his reign. Apes are now the dominant species, with humans living in the shadows. When a new tyrannical ape begins to build his empire, a young ape embarks on a journey where he will make choices that will define the future for both apes and humans. The cast will be comprised of Owen Teague, Cameron Duran, Freya Allen, William H. Macy, and Peter Maker.
But where the girl is at?
What was her name? Freya Allen?
This one?
It is a lot of male-ness.
Always somebody dominant.
In the apes. Okay. In the Apes franchise, it is very male-centered, you know, from Caesar, the main ape, to his companion, being the man.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it, because I have followed it since the beginning.
I just realized, when we were talking about this, before I looked into this article all the way, I have not seen the last Planet of the Apes before this one. So I didn't know Caesar died. So I'm late to the party. I do plan on watching it so I can see this.
It is good.
I think it's just on my list. I have a long movie list of things I need to watch, but I do plan on watching this and keeping up with this.
Yes.
It's a good storyline. I like it. It's predictable. It's simple. It's some of the stuff we like to think about, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, kind of like what ifs type things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know historically it has, it served as like a
little metaphor.
Kind of about race.
Yeah.
So I know that's
control.
Why.
Control.
Race, control, power.
Mm-hmm. In both man and animal. Dominancy.
Even now it's reminding me of like, what is it? Lord of the Flies. And even thinking about Yellow Jackets, even though it's not an intra species, it's like those different inter-species relations and all of that is right down the alley.
Moving right along.
Yes, they're going to be doing probably a lot more CGI with that one, because it isn't like a lot of human leadership as far as like starting off. When I watched the trailer, it looked like a lot of CGI and the same mocap technology they used. And speaking of the technology, we are looking at AI. Specifically, what's up for OpenAI? It says OpenAI said late Tuesday that Sam Altman would return to the company as CEO, capping days of high drama and marathon discussions about the future of the startup at the center of the global artificial boom. So that's what OpenEye LLC and Microsoft Corp. So following the surprise dismissal on Friday, Altman had briefly joined Microsoft as the head of artificial intelligence research, along with the ChatGPT maker's former president, Greg Brockman, and other staff. The developments come within less than a year after OpenAI kicked off a generative AI frenzy with the launch of the chatbot ChatGPT and bagged Microsoft as an investor, among other big names. And so just keeping a timeline of what's going on, and it says he will return with a new initial board featuring Brett Taylor, Larry Summers, and others. So just looking at how these different technology giants are potentially coming together to make something new and improve on how AI is being used. Just keeping an eye on those developments as they happen rapidly, in contrast with some politics and things to, I guess, rein it in, or even just keep track of how we
move around,
like,
use your self-service,
how we can use it, you know, the legality of it, because, you know, with the recent, you know, SAG after strike, there's still stuff in there that we're hearing about, they're working about, and AI is a part of that. So just, you know, keeping updated on those different developments and who's doing what and what that means for, you know, just
staying how we focused function. And, yeah, it's going to affect you.
Yeah, because
stay on top of it.
Social media and a lot of things that we use on a day-to-day basis or outside of, like, working and relaxing, what are you spending your time on? And what does that mean for how you relate to each other and the world?
Yeah.
Another tech-related story, the concern with the safety of Bluetooth headphones and the radiation emissions. So with, you know, evolving technology, especially with headphones and things that are wireless hand-free devices like headphones, they come with concerns such as whether Bluetooth headphones are safe. In 2015, a group of scientists signed a petition expressing serious concern about the potential health risks of non-ionizing electromagnetic field EMF technology that can cause things like cancer. All Bluetooth devices use EMF technology. And so just like how much of a risk is that to our health? So, you know, going back to some people, what is Bluetooth technology? It's used to create wireless connections between two different technologies. Bluetooth uses a short range radio frequency to connect devices within a certain distance. Both devices are wireless, so they also utilize radio frequency, RF radiation. That type of radiation falls under the electromagnetic radiation, EMR, which travels in waves using electric and magnetic fields. RF radiation occurs in natural and artificial states. So cell phones, AM and FM radio, and televisions emit RF radiation. Of note, Bluetooth devices give off slightly less radiation than cell phones, says Dr. Ken Foster, a professor emeritus of bioengineering at the University of Pennsylvania, told the Health magazine. So the exposure can add up if you use wireless Bluetooth headphones for hours a day to listen to music or podcasts. You will get less exposure than if you were to hold your phone up to your ear. So there's pros and cons. Like, if you're somebody who's constantly wearing your headphones, be mindful of, like, how often you do that. Make sure you take breaks away from your headset, as well as where you place your phone and putting your phone from that. Also, just what is the connection between, I guess, radiation and cancer? Radiation exists as a non-ionizing radiation has the energy to move atoms around but cannot remove electrons from atoms. In contrast, ionizing radiation has the power to do both. Non-ionizing radiation has less energy, making it less likely to harm your health. Ionizing radiation includes X-rays and radioactive waste that can damage tissues in your DNA. Those damaged cells then can, like, become cancerous if the body does not correctly repair or get rid of them. Carcinogens are any substances or exposures that may result in cancer. Specific medical treatments like radiation are among the types of exposures that fall under the list of possible carcinogens. So does Bluetooth technology increase the risk for cancer? There's still conclusions to be made that directly link Bluetooth technology to that, but they are still conducting surveys and studies to figure out the long-term adverse health effects. But if you are concerned about that, really just like with most things, limit your use of those technologies because we're getting them from different places of how many handheld or wireless devices, hand-free or wireless devices you have. Just thinking about reducing that along with, like, you know, the notifications you get about your screen time. Just, you know, what they say?
You gotta be mindful and take care of yourself.
Yep.
We try to bring this thing out to be awareness because we see more kids with, you know, different type of ear parts in their ear, and they try to make them colorful and cute. And the parents, you know, don't think about it because, you know, you're just trying to satisfy the child. And the adults, you know, you want things to match your clothes, and you put these little cute little ear pods in. Then you think about, okay, we got the Bluetooth kind, which is safe, but still, at the end of the day, don't have them on for so long. You know, if you can use your Bluetooth speaker if you're home by yourself, or if you want to share the information that you're listening to, that's cool too.
Yeah, just take a break.
Take a break.
We're going to take a break. Some other people took a break from their technology for a brief moment at a national park because they tried to hold a bear cub. So the North Carolina park near the Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina was closed off by authorities following reports visitors are trying to feed and hold a bear cub. Yes, they were. Multiple reports emerged that some visitors were becoming too familiar with the bears at the Lane Pinnacle Overlook. The National Park Service, NPS, said in a statement, it says, "We're closing this section of the road temporarily for the safety of both the bear and park visitors. When people intentionally attract bears with trash and food, it can lead to very dangerous situations." A photo was shared on the Blue Ridge Parkway's Facebook page that showed visitors standing dangerously close to a young black bear while trying to get photos. The post from the parkway also mentions visitors were trying to feed the bear. It's an activity they warn against visitors to never approach a bear or allow bears to approach them. At least 150 feet distance should be kept between humans and bears at all times. Any attempt made by a park visitor to come close enough to a bear, disturb, or displace them is illegal and can result in fines or arrests. Being too close to bears can cause bears to become aggressive, and you should back away slowly while keeping an eye on the bear. If the bear is persistent in following a visitor after changing direction, the visitor is advised to stand your ground and act aggressively towards the bear, throwing non-food objects and shouting to try and scare the animal away. They are also worried that the increased human interaction could disrupt the bear's crucial focus on getting ready for hibernation. A website warns that a fed bear is a dead bear, explaining that visitors should never feed nor leave their litter in the park, as it can lead to bears damaging property or injuring humans, which could in turn result in the bear's euthanization. Bears forage for food for up to 20 hours a day, trying to gain weight before they settle down for the winter. During their search for natural food, human food can also become interest to bears. And so visitors who get too close to them on land themselves can get themselves in danger. In this instance, we want to give the bear a chance to lose interest in the area before the situation escalates and visitors or the bear are harmed. Park officials said that the natural beauty point between milepost 367.6 near the Craggy Gardens picnic area and milepost 375.6 Ox Creek Road remain closed until further notice.
Respect the bear's environment. It's not a joke. Because mama bear is somewhere close around.
Man.
And sometimes we can give these animals something that we might enjoy to eat. And it might make them sick. You know? We don't know. You're not a veterinarian out there visiting. That's not Winnie the Pooh.
No, it is not. That is a little baby bear. And it's funny, too, looking at the picture.
He's a cutie.
He's leaning over the rail of the trail. Like, hey, what y'all doing? What y'all got going on?
Like, I'm used to this, but Mom is close by. I'm trying to warn you.
Y'all going on the tour? Can I come?
And, you know, you don't realize when a bear or the mom or the dad, because we went to a exhibit and we put our hands against a glass. That little cub, excuse me, that little cub's paw was twice the size of my hand. And I have a small
The baby bear. That was a big, big ass
and
bear.
The mama bear, oh my gosh, that's my whole face. Her paw was my whole face. So can you imagine something that's coming down on you?
And swiping at you.
We're not going to talk about Papa Bear.
Or running at you.
That was my face and another face. That's how big this black bears were.
I don't think it was safe for us to visit that exhibit. I still believe that to this day.
We was at the state fair.
Yeah, I never again would put myself in that position. There was nothing but glass and tranquilizers between us and those bears.
Yeah, the glass was thick. And people...
We were really relying on the tranquilizers. What if we were there
and the
when
sign
they were
said,
going?
What? Do not tap on glass. And what people did?
Tap on glass. And it was right before fireworks. We just set ourselves up. Don't be like us. Don't be like these people.
Curiosity will kill somebody's cat.
Will kill the bear. Curiosity will kill you and the bear. And I don't know where that man on TikTok he had. He was grilling some bear paws. Yeah, he was grilling some bear legs. And it's a lot.
No, we're not going to
leave the bears alone.
If you see them coming,
don't
moose,
feed them.
Antelope.
Let them go into 7-Eleven like the rest of the wildlife.
Because what you see on TV in real life, that moose is huge.
Tree tall.
So don't fool with it. And the bears are so cute. Oh, we got another one.
Yes, we're leaving off with the last article today about the giant pandas. They have left the National Zoo to go home to China. So they're leaving Washington, D.C. to say goodbye. There were some of the most famous animal residents at the National Zoo. Three of them went home to China in an advance of an expiring loan agreement between the U.S. and China. The departure comes as an intensifying relations between Washington and Beijing over security and economic and humanitarian issues. But yeah, the pandas were here for the last time and they left the zoo. The pandas should be expected to be in China by 2024.
Yep. Our sweet meat for today is...
Blast Italian Ice. Get premium ices. You got flavors in mango, cherry, blueberry, and more with different add-ons as well. You can book them for your birthday parties, private events, any event, baby shower that you have going on. Just contact or call them to schedule and figure out pricing at 919-385-9853. That's 919-385-9853 or 919-951-5807. Yes, we're talking about Italian ice, the ices that you can eat indoors where it's warm. You don't have to just eat ices in the summer. You can eat them anytime because you're an adult with money.
And they're real flavorful. Please try them.
Yes, premium flavors, pina colada, a bunch of things going on.
Yeah. You want us to promote your business in our next Sweet Deets mention? Email us at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com with the subject line business feature with a few services about your business, promote, or your service. There's room for everyone to eat.
You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Talking Brown Sugar, on Twitter at Talking Brown Sug, that's Talking Brown S-U-G, and you can email us at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com. Remember to like, share, comment on the show posts. Comment on our episodes wherever you're listening. Remember to share, tell your aunties, cousins, everybody. We all sit down to have dinner together. We share a plate, breaking bread. Or even if you're at work listening to people, let your coworkers know, hey, this is what I listen to, but I'm not listening to you while we're working. Let them know. Talking Brown Sugar.
Wellness check.
Yes, today we're talking about what? Winter prep. Winter prep is weatherizing your domicile where you lay your head to keep in the heat. So that is putting extra insulation.
Yeah.
Why can't I say the word? Insulation in your home checking your main entrances and exits for breezes, especially as things pick up for the winter after the holiday for this month. It's going to get cooler and you want to make sure you are prepared. So in preparation for the winter, check for different ways you can weatherize your home. You can do a quick Google, a quick search on best tips, you know, look on TikTok for videos, as well as look into different ways to have plan B's in case the worst case scenario, your power goes out, anything happens with the weather that you weren't prepared for. Get you some candles, both the tall stick type candles as well as tea light candles. Those come in handy. And look at different ways you can get canned goods and open them. Make sure you have a mechanical one. I don't know that too many people have electric can openers, but make sure you have the things you need and all your, you know, documents and things organized in a go bag just in case you need one.
Yeah.
Just in case. You might need to go to somebody else's house, you know, to wait out the cold. You want to be ready. You don't want to have to think about it in the moment.
Yeah, and check around your outlets for drafts. It doesn't hurt to feel around your door for little drafts and your curtains. You might need extra backings. And some people still put plastic on their windows. And if you have, like, some little pets, you know, make sure they have little warm, comfy things to put on their body, or a nice, warm, comfy little pallet or a little comfy bed. Because we like comfy stuff.
Yeah, get an extra little blanket for warmth.
And check your cars, too. Rotate your tires. Check your oil, your antifreeze.
Keep your gas filled.
And always look in your cabinet. If you got any outdated medication, and make a safe place to hide stuff from kids and people that come in, you know, to call for medicine. Check the dates. Because we don't know what this weather might be. They're talking about a Nino. Uh-oh.
Yes, a cold front. We got rain for, 2 days?
Yeah, that's amazing.
That was a much more rain than I thought it was going to be on top of these. So that's what we're working with now. Just want to make sure, you know, you have driveways, walkways cleared out. So when you get, you know, snow or anything on top of that, you're just ready to go. Just have your plan B in place.
Yeah, be safe.
Stay warm.
Stay warm. Get some hot chocolate. Or you want some latte?
No, I like hot chocolate.
Me too. Marshmallows?
With milk. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that sounds tasty.
Creamy. Once you have milk, it'll change your life. This has been Talking Brown Sugar.
Talking Brown Sugar. We're trying to educate you. Keep you laughing.
Keep you close. Don't forget to share the show with your friends, colleagues, family, people you like, even people you don't like. They might be better after listening to the show. I'm Roger the Dork.
I'm Angela the Mom.
And this is
Talking
Brown
Sugar.
We out.